Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I'm John Batson with my colleagues, Cameron McMillan and Bradley Bowman. Cameron is an Iraqi veteran, Iraqi war veteran of Operation Inherent Resolve. He's a research analyst at the FDD. Bradley Bowman is director of the Center on Military and Political Power, senior director. Brad, I come to you about what is to be done. You ask a series of questions in your article. The first one gets right to it. How secure are ISIS detention facilities? Because there's the big rub. They get away. They start murdering people. Who's responsible? How many are there? What is being done? Are they sentenced forever? I know they don't get due process, but what's the thinking about keeping hundreds, if not thousands, including, I believe, families, penned up?
Yeah, no, thank you, John. The central premise behind this idea is that when you have terrorists detained who want to kill you and your allies, we should not release them. Sometimes as Americans, we bring domestic legal considerations to law of war detention. And these are two very different legal regimes. I know this from my time working in the Senate for Senator Kelly Ayotte, where we focused a lot on Guantanamo related detention. And the bottom line is, in January, as Cam said very eloquently, CENTCOM said that they have 9,000 ISIS prisoners and additional tens of thousands of displaced persons in these detention facilities. And as he said, if they are released, that's going to be the next generation of ISIS. That's going to help that terrorist organization revive itself and potentially reestablish a caliphate. A good portion of those thousands of ISIS detainees currently detained and guarded by Syrian Democratic Partners supported by the United States will go to Europe, will go try to go to the United States, and will try to commit terrorist attacks. So under the law of war, as long as the war continues, combatants can be detained. So they are being lawfully detained. But let's not miss the Turkey element here. Cam flicked at it very wisely. And we saw a little bit of this. We saw a preview in the first Trump term. President Trump kind of made a deal with Erdogan. He said, hey, we'll step back. And then Turkey kind of encroached more into Syria. And the real concern at the time was, you know, obviously Turkey and the Syrian Democratic Forces have some issues, shall we say. And if the SDF is more concerned about encroaching or approaching Turkish military forces, they're going to be incentivized to leave these detention facilities to fight the Turkish forces and defend themselves. That means less well-guarded detention facilities. That means prison breaks. That means more terrorist attacks in Europe and the United States. And so I think that's one of my leading concerns. We got to continue the airstrikes so that these ISIS terrorists are more concerned about getting bombed and so they have less time to plan and conduct and launch attacks. And we got to keep these thousands of ISIS detainees detained. And if we don't, we'll see more terrorist attacks in Europe and the United States.
Cameron Al-Shara Al-Jilani, he has other names. Naming himself the president of Syria, is an al-Qaeda terrorist who's also served with ISIS. Baghdadi was a man he contested with once upon a time. He's a terrorist. He's a jihadist. The Iraqis hate him because he murdered people in Iraq before he fled. If he goes back to Iraq, his life is at risk. We're looking at a man who knows how to take advantage of other terrorists. If those detention facilities are opened up, do we know what al-Shara with the so-called government in Damascus will do?
You know, I don't think we do know. And I think that that's part of our cause for concern here is there's a lot of unknown variables. There's a lot of we kind of have to wait and see, frankly, of what's going to happen with the new regime in Syria. But I think what we can be certain about, and I'd encourage listeners to read recent analysis by our colleagues at FTD, Bill Raggio and David Adesnik, who point out that we know of these previous connections to ISIS and al-Qaeda in Iraq, and not only HTS, al-Jilani's former militia, but as well as the umbrella of militias they're now trying to consolidate control over. But in addition to that, we also have to, if you're taking a kind of strictless, so-called realist approach of, we may not like the guy, but, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Okay, we may be able to concede that, yes, the elements of the new regime may hate ISIS, and that may be great. But even if you grant that, there's a real question of capacity of what this new regime is going to be able to do. They have plenty of issues going on, as you've laid out today, that there were sectarian clashes in the outskirts of Damascus, and you see old Assad loyalists trying to fight the new government. So we should be, in addition to questioning how much we can trust, and I would very much not advise trusting this new regime, we should be questioning whether they, even if they wanted to, could assert control over these eastern parts of Syria to prevent an ISIS collapse. And it kind of reminds me, to be frank, of in the previous administration, the Biden administration, during the withdrawal, and for that matter, during the negotiation of the Doha agreement in the first Trump administration, we wouldn't say it explicitly, but there was sort of a subtle recognition that with ISIS-K in Afghanistan, hey, the Taliban hates them too. And maybe they could be a counter-terror partner. We won't call them that, but we could use that to our advantage. And I think that we should seriously be cautious about anything, whether we want to call them partners or enemies of my enemies, of just describing them how you describe them, foreign designated terrorists by the United States. And we should not place our trust in foreign designated terrorists to protect us from other four designated terrorists.
Brad, there's a general observation that the Trump administration wants out of the Middle East, and to this extent that it wants partners, so-called allies, to take up the burden. Does that indicate to us now that the deployment in Syria is going to end entirely or be whittled down? And doesn't whittling it down make it more vulnerable, not less vulnerable?
John, you put your finger right on what I think is the central issue. And let me just be very plain. That is my number one fear. This administration believes China is the number one threat to our country. I agree. This administration believes that we need to be doing more in the Pacific urgently to deter aggression there and protect our interests. I agree. But in the military, in the U.S. Army, as Cam and I know, he's an Iraq veteran. I spent some time in Afghanistan. We both studied military tactics and strategy. There's the main effort and the supporting effort. The main effort, yes, is in the Pacific, but an important supporting effort is in Europe and the Middle East. And if you don't devote sufficient resources to protecting your interests in the supporting effort, then small problems in the supporting areas will become bigger, siphoning off time, attention, resources, troops, and money from your main effort. That's the danger here in the Middle East. We're talking about 2,000 troops. That's a fraction of what we had on Capitol Hill after January 6th. That's a small investment to keep one of the world's largest terrorist organizations worrying about bomb being struck so they don't have time to plan attacks on us and our allies.
Bradley Bowman, Cameron McMillan.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.